pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Mary. All right. Next on our agenda is minutes. All ready to do those?
Yes, sir. Motion to approve 614, 615, and 617 minutes.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Next, we've got accounts payable with one journal entry. Or maybe there's three on one page,
right.
I should say.
And Danny, you're going to abstain because of...
The Sunny Hills one?
Yeah.
I don't have anything to do with that up there. I'm just going to
gotcha. Go
ahead. I'll make a motion for approval.
Second.
Okay. There was also your reimbursement in there.
Oh, I abstain. I removed my second.
Well, that's on last week's accountable. We want to do that separate if we're going to do it, right? That the correct one?
You can say what's today plus the one held last week, or you can vote on separately.
Okay.
Let's
go ahead and do them separately, because needless to say, we've had confusion there or problems in the past. And
so I'll second.
So this is current stuff?
Current stuff for this week.
Okay. Any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay.
Motion for approval of last week's accounts payable.
Okay.
With check number, I guess we need to go ahead and give the check number.
Well, are you going to second it? Or
no.
Okay,
I'm
well,
not.
Then never mind. Because if I can't vote on my own reimbursement.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Died for lack of second.
We'll post something about that.
All right. Okay. Public comment? None? All righty. Next is new and old business. We've got FEMA. Who would like to start that conversation?
I'd like to have Mr. Dalton come forward.
Rod, come up.
Okay. And I'd like to speak to the to him and address. I received a phone call from Rob last week, and there were more charges required for his FEMA maps. The way that I understand it, Rob, you interrupt me just whenever I get off base, but I think it's the public needs to be fully aware that he's not the only one in this position, but he is a spokesperson for this position. Missouri Association of Counties, Southwest Missouri Commissioners have talked about this very issue in our last quarterly meeting. And there's more and more questions being asked about why FEMA is not taking on some of the responsibility and the charging of mapping of their own mapping of their own maps. That's the term of the changing of their own maps. Rob had called me with two more bills, I think, that had came in to him, and I told him personally not to pay them. Whether it's my business or not, we have too many people that are, I think the county is going to have to step up to the plate, along with, I think, all of Southwest Missouri, and probably before it's over with, all of Missouri will step up to the plate. To question their tactics on this, to ask someone to go out and spend money and you did exactly what they said and which was wrong in the first place, they should have, you shouldn't have had to pay for the first mapping and then to come back after you've done everything they said and ask for more. That's all politics is it's as usual, I think. I don't, what are they saying, Rob, that your mapping has slid, or what is their statement?
Well, that was a surveyor's comment that FEMA's map had slid, apparently, when they went to print it. And later on, maybe we can get to to that point of the conversation, but this is a letter that I received back this time after submitting all forms at the Planning and Zoning Office of FEMA's request for everything that I needed to do to hire the survey, to have it done, to make the map, and everything that they asked for, the surveyor submitted to the best of our knowledge. But they sent this letter in response. This is the second time, remember. The first time they sent it back, and we corrected everything, and this is the second one. It says, this is in response to your request for a letter of map amendment for the property referenced above. The Federal Emergency Management Agency uses detailed application certification forms for revision requests or amendments to the National Flood Insurance Program maps. The forms provide step-by-step instructions for requesters to follow and are comprehensive, ensuring that the requester's submissions are complete and more logically structured. Therefore, we can complete our review more quickly and at a lower cost to the NFIP. While completing the forms may seem burdensome, the advantages to requesters outweigh any inconvenience, which we submitted all those forms. Now they're saying that the following forms or supporting data, which were omitted from your previous submittal, must be provided. Please provide a more detailed topographic map showing contour information for both sides of the stream channel. The topographic map must also list the datum used as well as be certified by a professional engineer, which a professional engineer, my understanding that all this that they're asking for was in it. He's been on the phone to them and trying to get it straightened out. What they're requesting now is for him to go and shoot elevations on the far side of the creek away from my house and to shoot across the creek, across reference points. So they're out there. They're going to be out there this evening doing that. The surveyors are. Part of my point, or I guess the biggest point that maybe I'd like to bring before the commission, is May 17th I was here, and you all said we'd revisit the issue again in a couple of weeks or so, and so that's why I called back wanting to revisit and got this letter, and I don't know what all anyone's done other than what Danny has said, that steps he's taken on this, but the point I want to make very clear, and Roy Blunt's office and being in touch with them, they encourage this, that the county needs to try to make FEMA aware of the belief that their map has slipped when they went to print it. And what steps you guys can do to do that, you know, is in your hands and what you're willing to do. But their map is totally off. And the surveyor believes that if they would move it back the other way from where it slipped when they went to print it, that it would cure a lot of things. One, there's known places that flooded that would be in it then that are not now. Mine would be out. It would put my neighbor in, because the map, when you move it back, it shows all this, but everything just matches up better. But getting someone to convince FEMA that their map was printed wrong or that it slipped is, you know, FEMA's pointing me back to you guys. They're saying the county needs to take this on. Roy Blunt's office says, no, it's a FEMA problem. But that if the surveyor would be willing to put in writing his belief that the map has slipped and hammer it from that side and get them somebody's attention to stand up and say, hey, maybe we did make a mistake, then my problem might, and it's not going to correct all your other problems where people are living on bluffs and they just went down through their mapping and made all these mistakes. But as far as my end of the world, that would, if they would just correct their mapping and how the belief that it slipped, they'd correct that, mine would be done. But Joanne Emerson's office, I've received a letter back from Joanne's office. I had to sign off so that they could acquire the information that I had submitted. I guess it's a privacy act, maybe. But it just says, thank you for contacting me about the problems you've experienced with FEMA. I appreciate your taking the time to share those concerns with me. I've contacted the appropriate agency officials on your behalf about the problems you have outlined. When I receive a reply, I'll be back in touch with you. In the meantime, should you have any additional questions or concerns, please feel free to call Heather Pugh in the West Plains District Office. So that's from Joanne Emerson, but haven't heard anything there. But along with this letter, there is fees that they're saying. And there's a list of them that whether or not Eddie Coxey doesn't believe that this is going to apply to me. But there are fees ranging, looks like, from anywhere from $325 to $800. The category in which we believe maybe I would fit somewhere, that they want to charge me just to amend their map, if indeed I prove I'm not in it. Totally absurd. I mean, just crazy that I would be charged a fee for them to amend their mistake. But whether or not this happens, that, you know, time will tell. And Doug is in Lee's Summit. I guess this morning I wasn't able to talk to him to catch the latest on his correspondence with FEMA, but it is a mess.
Yes, Rob, and I, you're not the only one in this position. You're a spokesperson for some people that we know of that's in this position. But not only do they, you know, do you have the expense of the fees, the surveying that you brought in before, but your insurance fees also. So I think it's terribly misrepresentation of what needs to be done for them to ask for money before anything's corrected. That's the reason whenever I talked to you before, and you'd told me that you'd visited with Joanne, and I said not to her office, not to pay anything until we maybe have a meeting with our get it scheduled on our Southwest Missouri, because we're not the only county that we shouldn't bear the burden either. We're not the only county that this has happened in. It was a topic of discussion in our quarterly meeting. And either one of you gentlemen know when that next one is?
It won't be for another four more months. It's not quarterly. It's biannual, so it's twice a year.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was a quarterly meeting.
There shouldn't be another meeting scheduled.
When you got on there, Mr. Strauss, I think they decided to move it to have.
Yeah, is that what it was? Thank you, sir. A couple things, Rob, that I've been doing, and just so you know, Scott Zeller for FEMA and SEMA came in and had a preliminary meeting with them. They're redoing or digitizing Taney County. They have a preliminary map that they're going to be bringing to us, and I think in the next 30 days, in July, they're supposed to give us a rough draft. What I've also done is talk to David Roush, who is the field coordinator for Senator McCaskill, and he has had some conversation with FEMA about areas, because other counties are contacting the senator's office about FEMA issues also. What he has kind of suggested is wait till this rough draft comes back and see where your property lies with this rough draft. If you remember, they're going to redraw Bull Shoals and Taney Como with the new elevated floodplain because of the 5-foot additional height. They're going to raise the lake up, and so they're redrawing a flood map for that. And as soon as we find out where your property lies relating to that, even with the redraw, I'm anticipating it to be out of that floodplain. Then David Roush said he can go back to FEMA and say, even with the redraw, this property doesn't lie within. Now, we're going to have a different problem because there's going to be a lot of properties that fall within it now because of the redraw. But the other person who has been, FEMA, SEMA kind of outsourced that redrawing of the map, and I was looking for that person's name. It's Dennis, and we can get a preliminary map from him to see where it falls also. I'll get an email in just a second. But Senator McCaskill's office, even though, she's in this area, a Democrat. She's been very close to the FEMA people and have had good results in other parts of the state. So David's asked me to kind of wait until this FEMA map comes out. They originally gave us the end of May when we'd see our rough draft. I've been emailing back and forth, and they said it's probably going to be in July that we'll see the redraw of this, the new map. If you remember that meeting we had in here, we were supposed to have a map in the next 30 days, a rough draft, so we can start having discussions about it. So I think in 30 days, within 30 days, we should see where your property falls with the redraw. I'm anticipating it being out of the floodplain, and then that would be the ammunition, but the information necessary for David to take it to FEMA and get some relief, specifically for you. There'll be other people who will be arguing. We'll get actually more people to come in and be upset. So, but anyway, that's what I've been working on. And it, like Danny said, FEMA has affected a lot of counties in the state. Mm-hmm. And so it was brought up at our CCAM meeting in the spring, and then this last Southwest meeting we've had. So FEMA has done some things that have really caused some issues, and so this, both senators are aware of it. But I know with Kit Bond going out, that's why I kind of lean toward McCaskill, because she's the constant right now with the senators. Mm-hmm. So we'll know something soon.
Okay. Keeping it aware to the public, I think, is a great thing, Rob. It's just letting people know that this is coming down the line. That's mm-hmm. the reason I thought it was to be put on the agenda this morning. And like you said, we promised you some kind of a conversation about it. I don't know whether you know any more now, although you did receive the billing from this last time since your last meeting. Use your own personal judgment on that. But I know that Taney County will be standing behind you. I can speak as one commissioner for any mistakes that they've made, that our citizens don't have to pay the price.
And that's what I want to hopefully point out. I understand there's a problem other places, but if indeed their map has slipped, I mean, wouldn't it be the county's position to make them correct? Because you guys, even if you would have looked at it, could have looked at one thing, and then when they took it and printed it off, if it slipped, the whole thing could have changed.
It'd be a lot of property owners affected.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you know, if that's the issue, or if that's the case in this, then, you know, to me, they need to be held accountable for their error.
I think they will. I mean, this new map that they've outsourced, Dennis Lawler is who's the project manager for Taney County, who SEMA has hired. Mm-hmm. As soon as his map comes out, which is the rough draft official map, and it will obviously show that the map did slip.
Really?
And then
okay.
From what I'm understanding, okay. And so if in fact what I've been told and what I see are the same two things, then we'll be able to take actions to get
reimbursement for
it. It's a whole lot easier if they produce the map and say, hey, sure. We did make a mistake. It's sure. Their map, and both times their map. So then,
sure, and I can understand that.
So,
appreciate it.
Like I said, we should see it in about, trying to find this last email I got from them, but I think within 30 days. They were supposed to give it to us May 29th, I think, and they pushed it back for 45 days, so sometime in July.
Okay.
Is your request from SEMA and FEMA, or just FEMA?
FEMA.
Just FEMA.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to question Mr. Frank Preston on our SEMA monies, if we've received any for any of the destruction of the ice storms and things like that from SEMA. I didn't know we were in waiting mode the last I heard anything, but...
I could give you copies of this if you'd like.
I would. We'd like to. If you just get some copies for all of us, that'd be great. Because I'll forward a copy over to Senator McCaskill's office, David Roush. I'll get a copy of all that to him.
Okay.
So they have a file, because I've already had conversations with David about this.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you guys' effort on it. And, you know, I feel like I've been passed from here to there and somewhere else between ever, you know. But sometimes you don't know where to start.
Well, I think we're getting closer to the resolution with the,
it sounds like
with
it.
FEMA volunteering digitizing Taney County, we'll be able to get an accurate digitized map now. So
sure. Okay. Well, I appreciate your consideration, your time, all your efforts. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob. Eddie did call
Friday. Mm-hmm. He saw it on the agenda, and he won't. He has been out of town. He won't be back till this afternoon, so he apologized for not being here. All right. Next, we got purchase of MoDOT barn.
I put that on there also.
You have what? Oops.
I have what money we received from SEMA for the FEMA stuff.
Okay. I wouldn't care if you passed that out to us or announced it.
We have only received 1773, which is our second disaster, is the only one that this federal government, FEMA, has closed. So SEMA has only paid off on 1773, and the total we got back from SEMA is $58,923.65. Of that, $56,658.22 was for road and bridge, and $2,265.43 was for the sewer district.
What disaster date was that? You said the second disaster. Which date is that?
Let's see if I can find that.
That's not 2000. It's 2009
event. It's 2008.
Okay, 2008 events. Okay.
It will be the...
I thought it was the 2009 event. Okay.
No, so 2000. The only 2009 event that we had was the ice storm.
Ice storm.
This is the flooding event. I don't have the exact dates. I know it is the...
So it's the flood... But it's
the second round of flooding.
Okay, so the flood event of...
Right.
It's
the second round of flooding in 2008 because the third round was what came with the hurricane Ike and Gustav.
Okay. So is it safe to say that we haven't got anything from the 2009 ice storm then?
That is safe to say, okay. Yes.
All right.
Thank
Very
you.
Good. Thanks, uh-huh. Melissa. Okay. Anything else there?
Yeah. James Strahan, the assessor, that just has to sit around with his head spinning on when these people ask, how are you going to value my property if it's in or out of the floodplain? And that answer has never come from anyone. It's never been held accountable for this type of situation as the assessor's office versus the financial markets that actually caused this problem in Taney County and surrounding counties. And I want the media to know that some of the surrounding counties were smart enough not to go off into this project. So that's all I have to say.
Okay, anything else on FEMA? All right, next purchase of MoDOT barn.
Yes, I put that on the agenda. I spent, I called the girls and had them put it on there. I spent time in visiting with lots of people. We had a vote on that, and I'm proud to announce that we'll have better service for the area by the purchase of the 76 MoDOT barn. It has several advantages to it. The bonding capacity for the county will increase. The actual service area where we had the most complaints in the county lays within a short distance of this new MoDOT barn. So with the amount of equipment and structures that are on the premises, it looks like a win-win combination for Taney County in this purchase.
Okay. Anything else?
I think we'll be having a meeting this at 1 o'clock with Frank to kind of talk about probably plans about implementation, and now that we have the documents, I guess, signed and on the way, right, Nikki? I think there was a okay.
We were doing a They'll signature be going page that
sure.
we signed today.
So we'll be having some planning sessions to kind of see how much of the existing West staff goes from the existing West barn to the new barn and start working on that. So that's the only thing we haven't worked out those all the details of how big a staff will move over and if all the equipment will go off or whatever. So
okay.
That's it.
That it. All right, next one is Bradleyville Disincorporation. I put that on the agenda. This is a task we've been working on for, it seems like, the longest time. And I received a call, another call from Joe Combs with the school district, which is hoping to get the funding. Bob, can you tell us where we are? What we're waiting on?
Well, we have the money. It's been disincorporated. I spoke with Connie with the Department of Revenue Excise Tax Division, and she has received it. There was no distribution made this month, so the dissolution is completed. The money from the Village of Bradleyville is in the treasury of the county, and the county has to decide how to spend the money. And in the order, there was a provision put straight out of the statute that says that, and it's 80.670, shall be disposed of by the governing body for the benefit of such town or village, and may be applied by the governing body to any specific object upon the petition of a majority of the taxable inhabitants of such town or village. So it seems to say, although there's no case law, that it can be put to any specific object upon the petition of a majority of the taxable inhabitants of the town or village. That's the most specific thing I can find. However, the Constitution of the state of Missouri states that in Article 4, Section 30A, that the money from the road and bridge portion of says all funds collected shall be used solely for construction, reconstruction, maintenance, repair, policing, signing, lighting, and cleaning roads and streets, and for the payment of principal and interest on indebtedness incurred prior to January 1st, 1980 on account of road and street purposes. So it would seem that Article 4, Section 30A says that the road and bridge funds that were received by the Village of Bradleyville have to be spent on those purposes. Nowhere does it say once those monies are rolled over into the county treasury what they can be spent on other than 80.670. The safest way, obviously, would be to spend those monies that came from Road and Bridge on Road and Bridge purposes because of the constitutional provision I just read. However, 80.670 says that upon the application of a majority of the taxable inhabitants of the town or village, it may be applied to any specific object. So, I mean, that's about as specific as I can get. And you know, I'm telling you the safest way, and if you choose to do something else, I don't think anybody's going to give you a lot of grief given what the statute says, but the most conservative approach would be to spend the road and bridge monies on some road and bridge project in Bradleyville or taking care of their streets. That would be the safest way, but the statute seems to say that if the taxable inhabitants, a majority of them petition you, you can spend it on any specific object. And that's the most specific information I can find.
So they have to petition us? Is that the,
what? You want me to read it again? I mean, I only know what I've read in the statute. So.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, you don't need to read it again.
Okay.
Well, I'll ask the same question because it does read, as petitioned by the majority of the taxable inhabitants. Does that mean, in your opinion, that Bradleyville residents would have to do a petition and ask us to spend the money X, Y, Z?
I believe that's correct. If they want to spend on a specific object, they may, if they want, petition us. But if they don't, let me go back to it. It says, if any town or village disincorporated, as aforesaid, have an annual revenue accruing thereto, and this, it may be just their annual revenue and not their road and bridge, but they are getting it on a, you know, regular basis, monthly. The sum shall be paid to the county governing body by the person owing the same. And all monies thus paid, as well as all monies paid them by the trustee, shall be held and disposed of by the governing body, that's the county commission, for the benefit of such town or village, and may be applied by the governing body, the county commission, to any specific object upon the petition of a majority of the taxable inhabitants of such town or village. And that's what it says.
Are you guys clear of what we can do or can't do?
Not so clear.
I'm not either.
I think it's probably need to have petition putting that little store down there where they're at and let them tell us two or three things that they want the money.
I mean, I think if we just created a little, I mean, it seems like by the very, we don't know what the majority of the ex-Bradleyville Incorporated people want to spend the money on. Right now, I think that the most conservative, like you said, would be Road and Bridge goes to Road and Bridge and all that. But there's a strong push to help support the school system over there. And if that would seems like, since it's not Road and Bridge, we would need to get some sort of petition to say, yes, apply that money to the school system.
That would not be a conservative approach, but that would be at least they'd have a petition.
So I think, like Danny is saying, we just need to actually ask some Bradleyville people if they wanted to go to schools, then they need to do a petition of some sort and go through that process as quick as they want to so we can get that money assigned to them.
And know that they did receive these funds from the state for road and bridge purposes. And now that they're no longer receiving them, it does not mean that the county will now be receiving those funds to take care of the roads. They don't automatically take that money and then apply it to the county. What they do is they use a different formula. We may end up getting a little bit more money, but it won't necessarily be the same as what Bradleyville was receiving.
James, comment?
When we founded Kirbyville, the phone call was made to the state. The state said, road and bridge purposes only, this funds can be spent on. We asked if we could pay our secretary just a small portion of this to order the materials to have it delivered to these spots. They said absolutely not.
That's correct. I mean, it says specifically what you can spend it on when you're the village of Kirbyville or the village of Bradleyville. The question is, once they no longer exist and it's been paid into the county treasury, what can it be spent on?
Right.
And the conservative approach is to say that road and bridge purposes only. And this does say annual funds accruing there too. May the county commission spend that on some other purpose in Bradleyville. There is no clear direction. I'm telling you the conservative approach is road and bridge, but there's no clear direction.
Okay.
Frank.
Morning, Frank Preston. So these funds that are to be spent on road and bridge, who would make the decision if we move in that direction to identify what those locations would be, and would they be currently non-county maintained roads, and does that present a problem?
Well, Bob can answer better than I can, of course, but if it's disincorporated now, today, then they're all non-county, I mean, they're all county roads. They're not Bradleyville roads anymore. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the question would they be under our currently county maintained road list?
Yes, we should immediately add the Bradleyville roads, since they are now disincorporated, to the total miles of county disincorporated area roads, and in that way, it may add to what we receive under the formula. It's not going to add a whole lot of roads because there weren't that many miles of roads in the village of Bradleyville. But that will add to our total miles, and it will influence how much we receive. It may not be much more. Certainly, I'm pretty sure it won't be as much as what Bradleyville was receiving.
So, excellent question. I hadn't thought of it, but we probably should ask Road and Bridge to look at what we were maintaining when Bradleyville incorporated and put those back on our maintenance list. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, we're saying add the Bradleyville roads to our maintenance program.
Were they previously petitioned? Were they? What's the current stat? Or what was the status prior to this?
But only the ones, what I'm thinking, would be that we were maintaining at the time Bradleyville incorporated, because there may be roads in that district that was not maintained by the county when they did that.
I'll ask a facetious question. Were there any roads that Bradleyville was actually maintaining, or did they all remain in the county and all they had were state roads within the village of Bradleyville?
I think we need to find the information.
I guess there's some
both
things
before and after. I mean, before they became incorporated, then after, and see if there's a difference in mileage.
I think there's three things that probably at Bradleyville we're talking about Road and Bridge that's involved. I think a petition put out, I believe there'll be a strong showing for the fire department service that is in downtown Bradleyville, and I think there'll be an extremely strong request for funds for the school. And so I think those petitions should be placed either at their post office and at this little store there in Bradleyville, so that they're in a couple of locations and everybody has the chance to speak up on that issue of those three things. One, I think we have no control over. I think we have no control over Road and Bridge, part of the Road and Bridge Fund. The other parts, I think we have control over through the petition process.
And if there are no roads that were in the village of Bradleyville, that would make it impossible to spend the Road and Bridge funds on
the Road and Bridge.
On the Road and Bridge. So,
I think if Frank can do the research for us, that will get us that answer. I think we should go ahead and do a petition, and maybe just give them two options: schools or roads. And but we can talk about that in a work session once we think about a few more. But I think you're right. We need to get a petition started.
But you asked me to do the research on the distribution, and that's the best I can do.
You got it. Thank you, sir.
If we're going to do a petition, if we're agreeing to do that, I think we needed to decide. I would like to decide today whether, if we're petitioned to send this money to the schools by the residents of Bradleyville, will we do that? What I'm saying is I don't want to see us put a petition out there, how do you want the money spent, and they say
what they want, yeah.
And they say that we want you to spend it on the schools, and then we say to James and what you've given us, Bob, oh, we can't do that. So I think we need to make a commitment decision that if they come back and say spend it on the schools, that's what we're going to do, or we're not going to do, one of the two. Because this just keeps going. I mean, this has gone on for so long. This is awful.
My thoughts are, with the wording of what Bob just read, if we get a petition and people say to schools, I will support money going to schools.
Okay.
That's where I'm. If I can get a petition saying, please spend it on the schools, I will vote to get the money to the schools. That's where I will be.
Wonderful.
And I was just going to say, if you want to be absolutely sure, you could always ask for an attorney general's opinion on where you could spend it.
The word petition, I think that gives us leeway in there. So, and the attorney general sometimes doesn't respond that quick. So.
I'm of the same mind.
Okay.
How about yourself?
That's fine with me. Like I said, I think there'll be two or three. It's asking for you to petition what their needs or wants are.
It's statute,
isn't it? And whatever that is what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
And if it's the schools, that's where I'm headed. And if it's the fire district there who was left out of the forestry money, well, then there'll be some consideration there also. So
there's a statute under 80.670.
80.670?
Yes, and there are no cases in the annotated version.
None. Okay.
And then the constitutional provision on Road and Bridge is Article 4, Section 30A and B.
So 80.670 is the statute for disincorporation.
Well, that part of disincorporation, how the money's distributed.
That's what I wanted. Thank you, sir.
I'd like to get this done as quick as possible. If we could get help from the clerk's office to get a petition form at the top.
I'm thinking we need to come up with a rough draft, have the county clerk make sure it's right. I mean, yeah. But we probably want more than one thing on the petition. It's going to be schools,
right.
Road and Bridge. Is there a third? Fire department?
I don't know. I'm just, that's where I feel there'll be a strong recommendation from.
I mean, if we can think through that, and then in our administrative work session that starts in about 20 minutes, we could probably work out a rough draft and then get it to the Donna Neely today so that she could review it. And there's the sheriff.
As the sheriff's coming forward, I'd beg us to go ahead and get that rough draft hammered out. It's just 9:40. Yes, sir.
Who's going to be eligible to sign the petition, and does the money have to be spent within what was the village of Bradleyville?
I think the people that would be eligible were those that were formerly residents of the village of Bradleyville. Is that right?
Well, it can be read a lot of different ways, but I mean, you may even be able to, playing the other side, that they should have made the petition prior to the actual order of dissolution, but obviously it's only those people who were taxable inhabitants of the village of Bradleyville. So it would be only those people who are taxable inhabitants. And the money should be spent for, the way it says is... held and disposed of by the governing body for the benefit of such town or village.
Okay. Judy asked the same question I was going to ask. Is a school in the city? I don't know whether the school is in the city or not. So it would certainly advantage those children and parents that live in the city to help the school.
Okay, before you sit down, maybe let's talk about what we want this petition to say. I mean, is it going to be a multiple choice? Each name, which ones you want us to spend it on? How we need to work through this?
I'd put two or three clipboards up, and I'd put, because there's not that many people that votes there that live within there, and I'd put what they want the money to be spent on, and have it right here, and here, other options or whatever. And we make our decision off of that.
You could start off with something like, in an effort to expend the dollars that are in the possession of the county that were collected for the city of Bradleyville, the commission is requesting that you sign this petition and indicate what objects you'd like to have that money spent on. An example could be the school, the fire department, or any other items that you could think of. Give them something to think about, because sometimes people...
They pay the taxes. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. They pay the taxes on the ambulance district. They pay their taxes on the school district. They pay their taxes on several things. Whatever those issues are, the fire, whatever, those are the ones that they're going to want their tax dollars put back into. And it's a multiple...
It has a sales tax.
Not
Bradleyville. You're right, Bradleyville is.
It's my understanding there's very little money that's not in the Road and Bridge Fund. And again, I want to reiterate that the conservative approach is to spend the Road and Bridge funds on Road and Bridge. But that's all I want to say.
All right, let's come on up, Rick.
I'm writing something out right now. So
good. And can we do it instead of having different clipboards, can we not put it on a form and have an area?
Well, you could have their name
and then where they want it to go.
You could. I'm just trying to figure out how it would look.
If I could just encourage you guys, number one, take the time to read the statute yourself, because I read them and Bob's being more, giving you more leeway than what I would have probably given you if I'd been reading them. Of course, I'm not a lawyer. Second thing is, if there needs to be a petition, let's let the people that are out there form the petition, let them take care of it. I mean, they're the ones that are going to petition, so, you know, it kind of puts it back in their hands, and that way it takes the responsibility of being a proper petition off of you guys, too, I think. So.
Rick, there's only one problem with that, is we keep receiving funds in, and that's what's been the problem in the past, isn't it, Bob? We had started off with, and then as they disincorporated, and the amount of time that's been lapsed since their first vote of disincorporation, there's been funds that have came into Bradleyville's department. Am I right?
No.
No, they've come in all along during the process of dissolution. It wasn't until we signed the order of dissolution and got it to the excise tax division of the Department of Revenue did it cease. So we did. The village of Bradleyville did not get a distribution for the month of June.
It stopped once the dissolution was...
Once the dissolution was signed. During the pending of the dissolution, they continued to receive their funds.
To your idea, Rick, of going to those folks and telling them to fix up the petition, would you go to the former chairman? Or because, I mean, just to throw it out there for the for Bridalville residents to come up with something, that's going to be hard to come about, I think.
Well, you've had one person contact you, right?
Right.
I think I'd start there. I think I'd start there. I'd say, look, we, as we read this, know that we can't spend these without a petition. I mean, we can spend them on Road and Bridge, I think, by reading the statutes. And you read the statutes and see what you think.
And you say that I've given them more leeway. I don't think I've given them a whole lot of leeway. I've said the conservative approach is to spend it on Road and Bridge. However, the statute does say that a taxable inhabitants majority petitioning they can spend it for the benefit for a specific object.
You have a good point, but I'm not going with it because the county commission's responsible to disperse those monies, and Jim's about got it done here anyway, I bet, so let's just get her over with. Get her done.
The question is, Road and Bridge school system, do we want to give a third option?
It's approximately $22,000, Alan.
Well, if the fire department is volunteer dues type of situation, maybe we don't want to put it.
I'd just like to give two options, Road and Bridge or school.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I'd like to do.
All right, you?
Yeah, I don't want even in on the mix on what they want. They may want a pool table sitting in the middle of the street. I don't know. But it's not my decision. It's their decision.
Yes.
That might be a Road and Bridge purpose.
Or other, and then leave a place on the petition for them to write the other.
There you go.
Let me just, I may need a few more minutes, but should have it done in a few minutes. I want to work on the wording here a little bit.
All right.
We can take a break.
I'm going to make a motion to table this to later in the meeting.
That'd be fine. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Any other business? I guess you all got these. We got two DNR letters. One of them on clean water revolving fund. I think that's a pretty standard deal. We might talk in our IDA meeting today about that.
Right.
The other one was on our ozone issue.
Yes.
And I would like us to look at sending DNR and also our federal representatives a letter about the ozone. They're talking about changing the standard from 75 to either to 70 or 65, which would put Springfield area. It causes grief. I think we've all probably sat in some of those meetings. I don't know that it'll, quite honestly, going to do a lot of good, but I think we ought to voice our opinion that
I think we ought to
want them to leave the standard where it is today instead of messing with it.
You guys want to vote on that? And go as a unit is, I think it's the most ridiculous thing. We're never going to be able to please them.
To send, just a vote to send a letter?
Vote yeah. Send a letter.
Sure. Can't do that today,
oh, we can't though. Do it and post it.
Okay. We'll post it in there too then.
But if you remember, the Clean Air Division spoke to us out of Southwest Missouri. I'd like to see if the whole organization, Cherry Warren's, if they would send a letter too, because we're not the only ones getting these letters.
That's good. And also, we might visit with our friends at the health department because they were in Springfield meeting that we were at directly before you got here, Jim. There's been plenty of talk. In fact, they came here to us, didn't they? They came and spoke at our office.
So,
all right, well, we'll post a meeting and
send a letter.
So the news media has some idea of what's going on. Is they take one day out of the year that they use a metering system. And most of the time it comes up whenever the forestry in Arkansas's burn off is the big deal where the ozone is out of whack so bad. It doesn't have anything to do with Taney County, although we are named in the regions of ozone problems, and they want to lower the standard even more. So that pretty well sums it up, doesn't it, gentlemen?
Yeah. Pretty close. I mean, the prevailing winds, the greenhouse gases build up in the summer, and so the prevailing winds for Springfield, because it's a south easterly direction of wind, needless to say, in idling cars is the biggest cause of greenhouse gases. So if you think about Branson and tourism,
and they only sample it during the summer months or the spring months, depending when they're, if they're burning. If we have the perfect situation, Arkansas will be burning, and we'll be having tourism, a busy day, and they'll sample the air, and then all of a sudden the greenhouse gases, ozone alert goes off because of Springfield. And so we're kind of catch-22. I mean, the only way to fix the problem is to encourage tourism, tourists not to drive cars, which obviously will not fix the problem. We can't support that. So we're in a catch-22. They've put air sensors on their southern edge of Springfield to see where the ozone, greenhouse gases are coming from. And the numbers that they're, Berry County, they had some sensors put up from northwest Arkansas. Prevailing winds in Berry County out in the middle of farms are off the charts high. And so Berry County is getting in trouble too. And so it's very strange for us to be penalized on an economy that, they're talking about putting a tax on fuel here. I've had one conversation or heard one conversation where they wanted to tax us every gas station in Taney County and make them pay extra because of the violations that we're causing in Springfield. So a lot of unsubstantiated data is what they're throwing out right now. But let's post this, Danny and Chuck, and write a letter, ask them not to change the numbers because it's an arbitrary number anyway.
You've already lowered it once.
Yeah, so. It's an arbitrary number. So
I didn't understand that. Jan, come on up if you got a question. I didn't understand they only check once a year because they've got sites. I assume they were checking it more than once a year.
I believe they use that data.
They used one day data.
It's in the summer.
Jan Clark, Catfish, Forsyth. I would like to say I did a story about this last year, and there is one thing that people can do that will help a lot, and that's when you fill up your car, when it kicks off, don't keep doing it. That saves 25 or 30% of the emissions. When I did the story, it was something they tried to encourage people to do. So when you fill up, just don't keep doing it. Because that emits all the gas, and that causes, if everybody in the county wouldn't do it, then we probably wouldn't hit the monitors. Or that's what they told me.
Right. You're seeing some gas stations put those boots on the nozzles too. That's the reason they're putting the boots on those nozzles when you fill up. Not all gas stations have that. Supposed to encapsulate all that extra fumes that are coming out. That's the whole reason.
I thought that was to keep it off my boots.
It was, and to keep it off your boots too, Mr. Strahan.
All right. Well, we'll post a meeting on that and get a letter out. So that's a good deal. That's all I had. Anything else?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll recess a couple of minutes and then come back to our weekly agenda. Thanks for being here.